Well, this is April 1st, and our class with Dallas, and the title of the class is, If It Is To Be, It Is Up To Me.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, but all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And I do hope that that is sinking into everybody, that this thing that we call God, this thing that we call life, whatever you want to call it, a life, intelligence, energy, we are one with it. It is running through us. It's all around us, and it is running through us. So we're living, moving, and having our being in this energy, in this life, which many call the life of God. You can call it the life of God, the life of the universe, or you can call it anything that you want, because this thing, it does not care. It does not care what you call it. Remember, this thing that we talk about, God, is always going to be beyond thoughts and words. Always beyond thoughts and words. The other night I was in bed, and I usually get little inspirations when I'm starting to go to sleep and so forth, and the thing that came to me, and then I always get up and write it down, was, you do not have to believe in God. God believes in you. You see? God believes in you. You do not have to believe in God. The other thing is that you do not have to believe in this thing that we always are talking about, the law of mind or the law of cause and effect. It just keeps going regardless if you believe in it or not. It is there. It is a law that continues to operate. Anyone can learn to use it. And that is what we are learning in this teaching, how to use the law of mind, the law of attraction, so that we can bring into our life what we want. And we know that we do that with our own mind, with our own thinking. Because what we think about, we bring about. So, with that said, I hope that that is slowly sinking into you and to me and to everyone that we certainly are creators. My cousin and her daughter were in town last week. My cousin went to buy a pair of glasses, and she went to this place on Beverly Hills called Franco's. And he's a designer, and she said to him, "Oh, you do such a wonderful designer." And he said, "I prefer to be called a creator. I prefer to be called a creator." He's creating all these. He doesn't create the glass, he creates the lenses and so forth. Beautiful, beautiful things. So, anyway, let's remember that we are creators. Each and every one of us, we're creating all the time, and we're creating with our thinking, with our mind. And that is why we are learning to think correctly, or we're learning to think God thoughts after it. Now, also with that said, I'd like to say that I hope that everybody took advantage of this Easter season, and that they recognize, brand name churches and so forth, recognize it as the resurrection of this man called Jesus. But in your personal life, you have to look at this thing called Easter as the resurrection of your own life. You resurrect it from what it was last year. You resurrect it from what it was even this morning. You're always resurrecting yourself. That is the most wonderful gift that we have, this gift that we're able to resurrect ourselves. We're able to change ourselves any time that we want. The Easter season, as I always explain to you, any of these things that we have out there that are in race mind or in collective consciousness, learn how to use them and learn how to use them correctly. The suffering on the cross, a great visual, give up all the suffering. Give up all the suffering that you think you have to go through. You're no longer on the cross. This man called Jesus only suffered about 3 minutes. Some people are suffering 30 years. You do not have to do it. So, all this stuff that's out there, use it, but use it correctly. So, with Good Friday, that's the death of this. That's the death of anything old that is going on. Anything old that is going on into you is now dead. It has been crucified on the cross. So let it go. Let all the old thoughts, all the negativity, all the things that are holding you back, realize that they're gone now. They have been crucified. Then, what do they do with this body, this thing called Christ? They put it in a tomb. And what happens with the tomb? The stone is rolled away. You must roll the stone away from your own tomb that you have put yourself into in your own mind. So think about that. I am rolling back the stone so that I can resurrect myself into a new life. That's what this teaching is all about, is the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your thinking. Learning to think bigger, better thoughts about yourself. Bigger, better thoughts about yourself. And then, of course, Easter comes. And Easter is nothing but resurrection. Nothing but renewal. And seeing all the new life around you. Because it happens in the spring. And everything out there is starting to bud. It's brand new. Trees and plants and so forth. Don't use the buds from last year. They don't use the buds from last year. They start over. Brand new. Brand new. So use this as a way to start over your life, to let go of things and say to yourself, all that negativity is now gone because it hung on the cross and it is now gone. And yes, I put myself in a tomb and I sealed myself up saying that this was all there is. But the stone has been rolled back from the tomb and I have resurrected myself into a new life, into a new way of thinking. I have given up the old habits. You see, what old habit have you given up? Give up and start anew. Start brand new. And that's what this season is about. When I was a child, we dressed up in new clothes. We did all that kind of stuff to show that everything was new again. Everything was new again. And use that as a visual. You don't put on your old clothes. Your old clothes are gone. Your old ways of thinking are gone. You put brand new clothes on. Brand new ideas come into your life. Brand new ideas come into this mind of yours. This is the way you want to look at this thing that we call Easter or the Easter season. And it doesn't matter if you're Christian or Muslim or Jew or any of those things. It's to look at things differently and realize they're gone. The old has passed away. The new is here. And you make yourself new up one side and down the other constantly. And so anyway, with that said, and I hope that you all use that in this Easter season and so forth, because these seasons that the churches have really do mean something, but you have to go a little bit deeper than the superficial things that are out there that they're talking about. You have to see that they really do give a message. Usually a message that they're not teaching, but that's beside the point, you know. So, tonight's talk and the rest of the month is going to be. If it is to be, it is up to me. And what do we mean about that? If it is to be, it is up to me. So many people want to come into this teaching and they think it's mystical and magical and they think they have to do nothing, that it's all going to just be hunky-dory. Well, that is not the way this teaching works. This teaching works by training your mind to think differently. But you must also always take an action step. If it is to be, it is up to me. First of all, you must sit and get yourself prepared. You must talk to yourself. You must change your thinking. You must tell yourself, I am a success. I have the power of the universe behind me. And if this thing we call God is for me, who and what can be against me? Who and what can be against me? Then, when you get your mind stayed on that, when I was in the Baptist church for a very short time before they asked me to leave, they had a wonderful little saying on the wall, and it said, perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on me. Perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on me. Meaning, if you can think of God all the time, you're going to enter peace. It's going to be a peaceful way to go about life. Sometimes that's very difficult. We have to keep bringing ourselves back to that. So anyway, you get your mind in the right frame. Then, as I said many times, you just can't sit there and go, oh, and expect millions of dollars to fall out of the ceiling. It was not going to happen. You must take an action step. It always, that's what the little saying means. If it is to be, it is up to me. Many times I have told you, if you make a step forward, this thing called God will make a step towards you. But you must make the step. There's another wonderful thing in metaphysics, in this teaching, that you very seldom hear, but it's a little tagline which says, nothing for nothing. Nothing for nothing. If you give nothing, you're going to get nothing back. If you sit down and don't do anything, nothing is going to happen. You must get up and move. You must treat and move your feet. Always an action step involved in that. Many people in brand name religions and so forth, and I was taught that also, that we pray to God and God is going to do all this stuff for us. And how many times I prayed when I was in that arena, I prayed for many, many things that never came true. Didn't hurt my faith, but I thought, this is very strange if this thing called God's going to do all this and give me something, and I pray for it, and I want, you know, like Janis Joplin, give me a Mercedes-Benz, you know. But you have to do something. I didn't know that at the time. I prayed wrongly many years out of my life. Because once you pray, then you must do something about that prayer. You're the one who has to do it. How many times have I said, have you heard me say, the gift has already been given. The gift of mind has already been given. Each and every one of us has been given a wonderful mind, a mind that we can use. I don't know how many people remember or know Norman Vincent Peale. Norman Vincent Peale was a positive thinker. He had a wonderful church in New York. He wasn't metaphysical. But he had a little book out, and I can't remember the name of the book right now, but I have it at home. And I remember how many times this thought I would use as an affirmation. And the thought was, I have a good mind and I can get my work. I have a good mind and I can get my work. I have a friend right now that's starting a new job. She's scared out of her mind. I said, why would you be scared out of your mind? You have a good mind. You have a college education. You are a lawyer by... So you must be able to think. Now stop this nonsense and realize that the only mind there is the mind of God. So you must have a good mind and you must be able to get your work. You see? So you do that, but then you have to get out and do something about that. You just don't sit there and say, I have a good mind and I can get my work. Then you go to work studying or whatever you're doing. I used it. When I used to study a great deal, I always prepared my mind first by telling myself that I had a good mind and I could get my work. And that what I was reading was penetrating. I was understanding it. You see, many people, oh, that's too much. I can't understand that. When you make a statement like, I can't understand that, what do you think your mind does? Your mind says, you're absolutely right. You can't understand it. You have to say, I have a good mind and I can get my work. You see? That's the way we work with this thing. So think of that. When you want something in your life, that the gift has already been given, that you have the power within you to be able to do that. The other wonderful thing about this thing called God or the universe or whatever you want to call it is, you cannot get an idea without being provided the means to make that idea come true. Otherwise, it would be an absolutely cruel, cruel universe and a cruel, cruel God that you're working with. And we're not working with a cruel God. We're working with a benevolent God. We're working with a God that wants to give you everything. So what we are trying to learn to do is align ourselves with this power so that we can draw into our lives what we want. And usually what happens with people, they lose their self-confidence or they think that they're not intelligent enough to get the job or to do the work. And you have to say, I am intelligent enough. First of all, jobs don't come to you unless you're capable of doing it. If you were capable of doing it, the job would never show up. The job would never show up. So, we want to clear our minds. We want to get rid of the negativity. We want to realize that we have this wonderful gift. We want to learn how to use it. And then we want to do an action step. We have to move out there in the world. And when we do that, I call that putting your mind into motion. You have to start something in mind. You have to start a motion in mind. Sitting idly is not starting your mind. It's not going to do anything. You know, that's the old physics law of a body at rest remains at rest. A body in motion remains in motion. So you must get motion going. You must do things. Many times people say to me, oh, Dallas, but God's taking care of everything. And look at that. He takes care of the birds. He feeds them. It's absolutely true that God feeds the birds. But he doesn't drop a worm in their mouth. They must go out and find it. They must go out and find it. Now, the nice thing about birds is they know that the worm is going to be there. They have no doubt in their mind that the worm is going to be there. We, as humans, think, oh, well, I don't see the worm, so it must not be there. And we don't bother to look. We don't bother to scratch. We don't bother to do the work that we need to do. we want, and I think we were taught, that this thing called God just doles things out. And some people he doles more to than other people. And that's not true. That's not true. Many people say, oh, how did that person get so rich? Well, that person got so rich because they worked 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's how they got rich. We have a tendency to think, oh, it just dropped into their laps. The most successful people that I know work very hard to get to where they are. They worked hard to get to where they are. Now, I don't know why people are afraid of hard work. You know, I don't know why people are afraid of hard work. If you want something, you have to work for it. You have to give something. You have to do something. Because it's always that little thing, nothing for nothing. Nothing for nothing. And we grew up, and I think we used to hear that, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And there is no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody may buy you lunch and so forth, but you're not going to have a free lunch the rest of your life. You're going to have to do something. If you want something to happen in your life, you must do something. You must make a movement. You must make a step forward. Now, Paula loves Raymond Charles Barker. Raymond Charles Barker said this: if you want your ship to come in, you better go down to the harbor and have very strong arms and pull it in yourself. The ships, by the way, are opportunities, and they're always going by. And people say, oh, look, look. You've got to go and pull it in, or it'll go right by. It'll go right by. Now, think of this one. Ideas are always floating around in the mind of God. There's all types of ideas floating around. Many people, have you ever seen something and said to yourself, oh, I thought about that years ago. I had that idea years ago. And look, those people made a fortune. Why? Because after they had the idea, they did something about it. After they had the idea, they did something about it. We don't do that. See, we let them go by. So think of that. Think of the ships. They're opportunities in life, and they're always going by. All these opportunities are going by. But you have to have strong arms and pull it in. And pull it in. Okay. We all know that. One of the greatest examples of mind, when I'm using universal mind now, or the mind of God, the ideas that are in there. Do you remember the radio? Thomas Edison and Marconi had the idea at the same time. Both of them had the exact same idea, and they both used it. Many people credit Marconi more than Thomas Edison. But the idea was there, and they did something with it. So think of that. The idea is here. Now, I will also point this out to you. If you're stuck with something, say to this thing, give me an idea. Give me an idea of how I can do this. How can I make more money? How can I have better health? How can I have a relationship? Give me the idea. Then you get the idea, you have to do something about that idea, or it slips away. It just slips away. We had the same idea with electricity, you see. We also credit Edison with electricity. Is that right? But the electricity that we use today is not Thomas's electricity. He was into direct current. and we're into alternating current. All the light that you see in the universe right now, anybody that's using current is using alternating current. Alternating current was invented by a man by the name of Tesla. Tesla. You've never heard of the Tesla coil and all? Tesla. His name was Tesla. He was a very strange man. Very intelligent. Yeah. So that what I'm trying to point out is the ideas are there for anyone to take. That's those ships that are passing by. They saw the opportunity, they saw the ship, and they went down and they pulled it in. When Edison was inventing the light bulb, he did invent the incandescent light. I think it was over 1,000, experiments before he hit on the right one. And each time he said, he did not get discouraged, he said, well, now I have found one way that it doesn't work. And he kept going. Which is another wonderful little thing to remember. Never, never, never give up. Keep on trucking. It will come to you. You will get what you want. People give up. And they don't get what they want. I think it was the Comstock Lode. They were mining for gold. And I believe they sold it to William Randolph Hearst's father. Because they had worked and worked and worked and worked and nothing came. He bought it and kept going and he hit the vein. He hit it. You see, most people give up before they do anything. Now, one of the other little things in this whole teaching, and there's a wonderful book out. At the present moment, the author slips my mind, but the name of it is... The title of the book is Diamonds in Your Own Backyard. Diamonds in Your Own Backyard. See, people always think that the grass is greener, that they have to go someplace else to get with it. About 20 years ago, a person said to me, and I had it on my refrigerator for the longest time, and it is this. Learn to bloom where you are planted. Learn to bloom where you are planted. And we don't do that. We think, oh, I have to go someplace else. I have to do something else. Stay where you are. But take that action step. Because nothing is going to come into your life without the action step. And many people in this teaching think that, well, I know all about it and this, that, and the other thing, and there's this wonderful thing called the law of attraction, and all I have to do is think about it, and it's all going to happen. It's not going to happen without an action step. And the little saying that we have is, what you think about, you bring about, or what you think about, you become. And what you think about, you absolutely do become. What you think about, you bring about, but you only bring that about by putting the action step in there. And that is where they fail to tell you what to do. In the 1920s, I believe, Napoleon Hill wrote a book, Think and Grow Rich. I forget, there's 8 billion copies of that have been sold worldwide. Very few people have become rich by reading that book. Why? Because he never talked about consciousness. He interviewed people that had a wealthy consciousness and were already rich. Carnegie, all of those people he interviewed. And they told him how they did it, but they didn't say, I had a prosperity consciousness. It was something in my thinking. And then I took action. I just didn't think I was going to have a steel mill without going out and building a steel mill. And the story about Henry Ford is that he always tipped really well when he was very poor. Because he knew at one time he would be wealthy. And he tipped people. He gave, I think he carried, oh, I can't remember, I don't want to tell a lie here. But anyway, maybe it was a dime or a quarter or something, which was a lot of money back then to tip people. But he always tipped, he always gave money out. That was his action step to back up his prosperity consciousness. You see? Here's the other thing that I tell people about an action step. If you want something, if I want to be here on this chair, and I say to myself, I want to go in that room over there. How am I going to get, by sitting here thinking, I want to go in that room over there? I have to get up and walk over there. I have to get up and walk over there. This is the little step that most people fail to see in this teaching. And it works. This teaching absolutely works. But you must take an action step. Once you make that movement forward, you're backing that whole thing up. And you... read Raymond Charles Barker's The Power of Decision. And this is absolutely true. And Raymond Charles Barker said in The Power of Decision, once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. So think of that. Once I make a decision, the universe is backing me up in this. It's backing you up, but it's not pushing you forward. You must make the step. It'll back you. With every step, it'll back you. You see? So, make that step. Do you have to set goals? Do you have to do any of that? You can if you want, but you don't have to. What you have to do is always make a step. Make a step forward. Do something. And then the universe will start approaching you, and it will give you either ideas, or will take you someplace else, and will do that. We leave that then open. We know that we're heading in some direction. We know that we're making that movement. Now the universe sees that, and that's called movement in mind. The universe now has much better ideas, bigger ideas. You know, regardless of what we can think, the greatest thing that we can think for ourselves, the universe can think something better for us. Because we have a finite mind. We have a finite mind. The universe has an infinite mind. And it can always come up with something better. So as you're moving forward, things are going to change. And then the landscape in front of you is going to change, but it's going to change to bring you to a place that is much better than you could ever think about. That's what this whole teaching is about. Why people think, and we have all the different techniques. We have the treatment work. Remember I tell you, if you do a treatment, then you must learn to live at the level of that treatment. As soon as you make the treatment, you must live at that level. But most people make the treatment and then drop back. And then drop back. I think it was Tony who said, how many times have I do a treatment? You must always treat this thing called God intelligently, and you must talk to God intelligently. God has a wonderful mind, or the universe itself has a wonderful mind. And if you use your mind intelligently, God does not forget what you ask for. But your own mind starts to negate that. Every time your mind negates it, you must do the treatment again till it convinces you. We're never convincing God of anything. We're convincing ourselves of anything. You see? That's why God absolutely believes in you. Whether you believe in God or not, God believes in you. So use that. Many people want to think, well, I was talking the other day to a friend, she said, well, it's all about faith and belief and all that. And I always point out to people, you only need the faith of a mustard seed. You see, some people think that they need all this faith. You don't need a lot of faith to make something move. You only need the size of a mustard seed. The same way people want to make a shift in consciousness, they think that a great big chasm must open up. No, a very small crack is all that's required. A very small crack is all that's required. And then this seeps in. And it changes everything. It changes everything. Why we think, and I think we do this because we were taught that, at least I think I was taught that in the brand name churches and so forth that I attended as a child, that God is going to do all the work. You see? That God is going to do all the work. God has already done the work. Now you must do the work. Remember, everything is already done in mind. Everything is done in the mind of God. Now you must take an action step and move towards that and start to see that. So the tools that we have are treatment. And then you make a treatment, you live at that demonstration. Affirmations. I told you, when I first was into this 40 years ago, I did affirmations all day long. All day long I did affirmations to fill my mind with good things instead of all the bad stuff that was in there. But when you make an affirmation too, then you must take an action step. Remember my famous affirmation was, I am a reader. Now I have to sit all day long and say I'm a reader. If I don't go out and buy a book or start to read, I'm not a reader. Now, I can read faster and better. I work on it all the time. I work on it all the time. So when you make these statements, then you're the one that's responsible. If it's to be, it is up to me. Then you must do something about that. You see how wonderful that is? And then we have visualization. Visualization is a wonderful thing. Visualize what you want. You know, we're visualizing the world as other people see it anyway. It's very difficult because of this thing called race mind. We think that the world is the way it is. No, the world is the way we see it. The world is the way we are. The world is the way we are. If we want the world to change, then we must change. We must change. And we take that action step. I do that to myself all the time by changing my thinking. I change my thinking that people say, oh, there's so much theft in the world, you know. Well, I deny that immediately. And if I denied and we had everyone denying it, theft would go away. Theft would go away. Theft is there because we keep saying theft is there. You see? I'm not one bit afraid of theft, except when, as I told you, if my sister-in-law comes to my house, I lock it up tight. Because she immediately says, oh, you're not going to leave that open. I have my jewelry in there. I have this in there. Oh, somebody's going to get in here and take it. I said, for you, I'm locking. For you, I'm locking, because she will draw that to you. You know? It'll happen. I don't want those things happening to me. You see? So you stay away from that. Now, I remember a cute little thing about metaphysicians. Somebody once asked at a meeting or something, well, what would a metaphysician do if he was in an alley, in a dark alley, and two men came at him with a knife? What would a metaphysician do if he was in a dark alley and two men came with him with a knife? A metaphysician wouldn't be in a dark alley. A metaphysician wouldn't be in a dark alley. You don't go to those places. You know, people go to these places and say, oh, this happened to me, that. Well, of course it happened to you. That's where it happens. Don't go there. This is about using your mind and your thinking and so forth. You have to use wisdom. As I say, I don't have the car locked out in front. Of course, I'm in front of a police station. I don't have the car, but if I had that car in Watts, you better believe I'd lock the thing. You better believe, because there's an atmosphere going on. There's a thought atmosphere going on. So with any of this stuff, we have to use our thinking, we have to use our mind, and we have to use what's called wisdom. And we have to say to ourselves, I am now mature enough to allow wisdom to come into my life. You see, we used to think wisdom only happened when you reached 100 or something. You must start saying, I have wisdom now. You must ask for wisdom to come into your life. And you will receive that. You will receive the wisdom. It's a wonderful thing. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive. And you will receive that. And it's done with believing. But here again, the action step is left out. You must move forward. You must do something. Always you are going to be responsible for what comes into your life. And you're going to be responsible by moving forward, by doing something about that. I have explained for years now the idea that, yes, we are gods and we are creative. So we have to start standing on our own 2 feet and saying, I am a god, I am creative, and I am the one that's creating my own life. That is the freedom that we have in this thing called God. You see? Now, God will help us with that. God will help us with all of that. But we cannot go through the rest of our lives waiting for somebody to help us. How many people do you know that are always waiting for somebody else to help them do something? Get up and do it yourself. Get up and do it yourself. When you do something yourself, you have pride. You feel good about yourself and all. You know? Look at all the people that come into vast sums of money that they didn't earn it themselves. They cannot hold on to it, most of them. They have no idea how to hold on to it. Because it has no value to them. They didn't have to work or lift a penny. You know, a penny. Lift a hand to get that penny. You have to do something. And here again, I hope that all of you inherit great sums of money. Because you people will be able to handle great sums of money. You see. You'll be able to handle great sums of money. And that is another thing that you must tell yourself every day. I can handle great sums of money. I am not afraid of money. I know how to handle money. You see, I know the value of money. And then that will come in to your life also. But we take that action step. We take an action step constantly. We make this wonderful statement also about abundance and prosperity, and we want abundance, we want prosperity.
And then you have to ask yourself, well, do I have a savings account? Am I putting something in that savings account? Am I putting at least a dollar in there? You know, some people go crazy, you know, and want to save everything. You can't. That's not a way to go through life, is saving everything. But if you want abundance and prosperity, you must save something. Because that, again, tells the universe that you're serious about it. And that's your action step. That is your action step. Because if it's to be, it is up to me. I must do it myself. I must do it myself. And I think that's a wonderful freeing thing to say to yourself, I'm capable of doing all this. I don't need other people to help me. Now, it's nice if they do, but I can do it without them. I can do it without them because I have this power, this intelligence, this wisdom of the universe coursing through me right here and right now. Right here and right now. So it's done with the idea of thinking differently about yourself. And we do that wonderful thing that we always do. We don't have to jump up and do it right now. I'm worthy, I'm deserving, I'm totally lovable, and I matter. You must tell yourself that day in and day out. And it will eventually come to pass, those things. You cannot be saying all this stuff and it going nowhere, just dropping down and dying. It does not. It does not do that. I told this story before, and I'll tell it one more time, about Robert Bitzer. Robert Bitzer had the Hollywood Church of Religious Science, right, on, I think it was on Courtney. It's now a cafeteria or something, or cafe. He was a contemporary of Ernest Tubbs, and I think he was the first church, Hollywood Church was the first church. He was very sick. Oh, he lived to be 97, I think, or 8. Anyway, he was very sick at one time. Very, very sick. And he said to me, Dallas, I was that sick, I did not know. I was not capable of even giving myself a treatment. But he said, then I remembered that every treatment I ever did was still in effect. Every treatment I ever did was still in effect. Because when we do something, we put it into the mind of God. It's always there. It's always working. Well, anyway, he got up and was healed from whatever it was that he had. He got up from the bed. But it was that realization. And that's what we have to know, how powerful we are. That when we say something, when we do a treatment, when we do an affirmation, when we sit and visualize something, it's going in to the universe itself. And it's not evaporating, people. It is not evaporating. It is still working. If you want to look at it, I look at it, it's growing, it's gaining momentum. It's doing all kinds of things. And in the right time, it will come back to me. In the right time. Remember the old thing? There is a season for everything. There is a season for everything. Sometimes we don't get exactly what we want because we're not ready for it. We're not ready for it. You know? So, ready yourself. How do you ready yourself? By using your mind. By changing your thoughts. By getting rid of negativity. When your thoughts come into you, I had some thoughts today, and I remembered that it was the Easter season, the tomb, was empty, therefore my mind was empty. It was ready for new, absolutely new thoughts. So the old thought was something from the past. I know exactly what it was. It was something about my mother. And I said, give that thought up, Dallas. It no longer serves you. It is no longer needed in your life. It has died on the cross, if you wish. And it has gone from my memory. I did not pick it apart and start to build it into anything. As I said before, my parents were no day at the beach. But I have not one bad word to say about them. Not one bad word do I have to say about my parents. I happen, as the longer I live, the more I like them. Absolutely true. The longer I live, the more I like them, because I understand more and more and more and more. You see? They did the very best they knew how to do. And I love them for that. You see? These are the things that you must learn to change in your mind. You must learn to think differently. Why would you want to think the same thought over and over and over? Don't do that to yourself. Go out and look at nature. And look at those trees. And say, look at that. All the new growth, new buds are in bloom. Not old buds, they've dropped off. They're dead. They are gone. But the new is here. So let's celebrate the new. Celebrate a new life. That's what this whole season was about. Resurrecting. And resurrecting your thinking. Resurrecting your life into something new. And let the old go. Let the old go. And how do you do that? By forgiving yourself. By forgiving yourself. You see, we hold all this stuff against us. This thing called God doesn't hold one thing against you. Not one thing against you. God always holds you in the highest esteem. God thinks you're absolutely wonderful, absolutely perfect. And you are. And you have to realize that. You have to realize. It's a little trick of the world. It's a little trick of your own mind that wants to hold all this stuff that means nothing anymore. It means nothing. All the slights and hurts and all those things that happen to you, they don't mean a thing. They don't mean a thing. They are gone. You have resurrected yourself into a new life. Use this teaching. Use your mind. But remember, if it is to be, it is up to me. I must do the work. I must make that step forward. I must do it myself. And I must rely on myself. No one else. No one wants to be around somebody that's needy, by the way. Very tiring to be around a needy person. Very tiring. You get tired of that, no time flat. No time flat. So with this season, know that you have been renewed. Completely renewed. Your thinking is new. And you are no longer holding on to the past. If it's to be, it is up to me. And it is wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.